Welcome back on the Throne, where you, the listener, reign supreme. I go by the name of Princess Daweti, and in studio, we are joined by our peeps from Student Council. We are joined by Onekuhle, and we are also joined by Ubudwethu Ubongani. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. So we're just going to, as you guys outlined off-air, that it is Mental Health Awareness Month this month. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be speaking about policies today, right? All right. So our first question is, what is the name of the policy and where did it come from?
The name of the policy is Policy on Sexual Harassment and Sexual Offences, which was revised in December 2017.
Yeah.
Initially, the policy was a policy on sexual harassment, but it was revised, and therefore an element of sexual offences was also added.
All right. Okay. And what is the purpose of the policy?
The thing is, the policy is just to guide what is meant by the sexual harassment and sexual offences, and to promote a safe learning and working environment that is free of sexual violence or sexual harassment. Also to provide procedures on dealing with these issues.
Yeah.
Lastly, to sensitize like the university of zero tolerance status pertaining the sexual harassment and sexual offences policy.
Yeah, okay. And what is SCCDC's involvement with this policy?
We actually do the training, the rollout of the policy.
Yeah.
And we are also, according to the policy, we have to offer psychosocial support to the victims. And we're part of the sexual harassment and offences committee as well.
Right. And how will you make sure that everyone is familiar with the policy?
Well, so far so good. We've started rolling out discussion sessions. We invite students, student leaders.
Yes.
Some of our students who work with us as mostly known as peer helpers.
Yeah.
They also have been trained in the policy, and they're also receiving other gender-based violence training so that they're able to be first responders in instances of GBV. And also we're planning on doing a lot more activities on campus to basically raise the awareness and inform students about
sexual
harassment. And
it's also a very sensitive thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not a lot of us will actually go for it because you don't want to, you're scared of what society thinks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to seem like I'm insane. So yes, getting familiar with the organization, what it brings and what policies there are would be ideal so that it's more normal.
And sorry, the other thing that we're hoping to do in the future is to include it in the orientation.
Yes, yes, that's brilliant.
Remember,
there's
a rape culture in the university, and the people who come not knowing that, so they need to have an understanding of what is happening and what they can do in a situation like that.
That is important, in fact, that's very important. Where does one report an incident of sexual harassment or an offence?
There's a variety of structures that are set up. The first one would be the Transformation Monitoring and Evaluation Unit, which is the Transformation Committee. That most people know the committee as just the Transformation Committee. And second alternative would be to report to Student Counseling. And also you can report to Campus Health Services. And lastly but not least, Protection Services. And when it comes to reporting, it also depends on where the incident takes place, you know. However, if it happens mostly off campus for students, right, you can report it to the South African Police Services, but also make sure that you report it using through any of these four structures that I've mentioned, so that the university can also get that information and also be able to support you.
Yes, yes. That is actually That is very interesting. What is the university's response to reported incidents of sexual harassment and sexual offences? And also, what avenues are available to a compliant according to the policy?
Okay.
So the first question is basically, what is the university's response to incidences such as those? Because we know they happen.
Yeah, so once the confirmation is received from the complainant, the next steps of the complaint process will then be initiated.
Okay.
Whether using the restorative informal process or the formal disciplinary thing.
Yeah.
Now, the second one speaks to the things that I mentioned, formal procedure. The formal procedure is the disciplinary process.
Yeah.
And the other one is restorative, where it provides a sense of justice for the complainant and increase like awareness of sexual harassment or offences for the perpetrator. So they may have and maybe get from them that sense of guilt and remorse, you know. Yeah.
I think it's a good way to start off. I really think like without even being, because it is a sensitive topic and there needs to be response. I feel like with our with our peers, there's never a response. People tend to nullify themselves, you know. It's weird. Okay, so what support does the university offer to victims of sexual offence?
Well, a number of services that are offered, number one, would be free counselling services, either at student counselling or at campus health. And for staff, it would be wellness at work.
Yeah, okay.
And also, you get access to medical treatment and advice, which is a process that is facilitated by campus health services, or through medical aid schemes for staff.
Yes.
And also what helps when it comes to the supportive measures is really having the support from campus health, because when a person, when a victim complains or files a report, they have to go under a very intrusive and very...
Sort of have to relive the experience.
Examination, yes, and they often feel like they meant or the process makes them relive the experience. Therefore, with campus health support, the student knows that they have someone who actually is on their side and who has their best interests at heart. Therefore, in as much as they are going through the intrusive process in terms of getting DNA and evidence, it gives them a calming effect to know that at least there is, you know, someone who is walking the road with them.
That's comforting to know. What do I do if a person I know or if a friend has been a victim of rape?
Well, you can report if, for example, it's someone that you know. One thing that you can do mainly is to maybe advise them and inform them about the different procedures that are available within the institution and hopefully see if they will be able to actually be the ones who report the incident using one of the different avenues, either through campus, through campus health services, through police, through protection services, student counseling, and also the transformation unit. And once the matter has been reported, it's those structures that give the student guidance and support to go through the whole process until it has been completed.
Also, for confidentiality purposes, there is an email. I think it's harassment@mandela.ac.za.
Yes.
Then the
transformation
office will get that, and for sure maybe you will say to them confidentiality, and they know that
they will take into their hands.
So
well, that is actually comforting to know as well, because sometimes you walk around and you're like, but you know, there's not they won't understand, or you know, this, then the other. And sometimes, unfortunately, and this is very unfortunate, people end up not even going and not even filing the report. So I feel like we are having a higher percent of people walking around and just not doing anything about it, which is alarming. Last question is, what is the men's Indaba?
Okay, the Men's Indaba, it's an initiative that was started last year, 2017, by our student counseling. It's there was a counselor there named Julius, but he's not with us anymore.
Mm.
The Men's Indaba is basically about male students.
Yes.
And seeing that there were like things like hashtag men are trash, because men seem to distance themselves from these things. We thought that we need to engage with men to speak about these issues, GBV issues. What are we doing? Are they still happening? And if they are still happening, what are we doing?
Yes.
As men, it's not a platform where we will have solutions, but hopefully we will have talks.
And it's just good to have those talks so that men do come out in a comfortable space.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, yes, the hashtag men are trash totally throws men off. It makes them feel like, oh, even no matter what I say, I'm going to be trashed anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, I'd rather not go there. I'd rather not go there to be trashed. I like that this is to actually bring the men together and to actually sit down and say, hey guys, you know, this is what's it. Get them comfortable so that we can actually get a good response as to why this is happening.
Yeah. So what has been happening is when we started, we tried to trial it by inviting our clients.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the turnout was not that good. And now we're planning to take these talks out to places like the Kraal.
The Kraal, yes.
Yeah. And next week, it's either Tuesday or Thursday, because I'm still looking for a venue. I'm going to have those talks in Admissionville.
Oh, yes.
There. And I've already gotten like nearly 30 men who are saying we will be there.
All right, great. So, that's a great response. It's a good start.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bongani, and to Onelihle. Thank you so much for coming through and informing us about, you know, the policies. And also, this is a great awareness. And it's also, it makes it more comfortable, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yes, and that was our people there from Student Counseling.